You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
So, you know, just rehearse the goodness of God. That's what you need to do. Stir yourself up. That's what we need to do. Amen? Praise God. Hey, if you have your Bibles, I'm just take about 20 minutes here. Not in any hurry. Doesn't matter if the Cowboys win today or not. They're already in the playoffs. It doesn't matter. So, I think they start at 12, but that has nothing to do with us. Hallelujah. You know, I've been meditating. Got a new year coming, you know, and I'm not a big on New Year's resolutions. I just believe in serving God every day. Amen. I believe every day is God's day, and this is the day the Lord has made, and I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. And he goes on and says, save now, O Lord, I beseech you, send now, O Lord, prosperity. Hallelujah. That's all in that same passage of verses. So this is God's day. It's a good day. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made, not the day the devil made. The devil never made a day in his life. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Don't let the devil mess it up. This is the day the Lord has made. Right. Yeah. the only way the devil messed up is you let him, because he just walks about as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Why don't you just say, you may not devour me today?
That's right.
So, you know, make a decision. You won't let the devil have any room in your life. The door's open to God, not the devil. The vacancy sign is up, and it says, no vacancy. I'm full of God. I got no room for the devil. Amen? Praise God. But, you know, when you think about, I was meditating on this and all the things that God's done, all the things God's going to do, and God's greatness and his power and his omnipotence, you know, he's all-powerful, and how unlimited he is and his resources and all that he can do. I mean, he's God. He can do anything. In one breath, we say that. But actually, in reality, that is true, but he is limited in what he can do in our life, because we can limit God. Now, God, yes, is ultimately potentially unlimited in what he can do, but you and I can limit him. And not a resolution or anything along these lines, but I'll just determine, you know, this year I'm just going to make sure I'm not putting any limits on God, that I'm not going to limit him. Amen. There was a book by Roy Hicks, who's gone on to be with the Lord, is in heaven right now, but he wrote a book called The Enigma of Unanswered Prayer, The Mystery of Unanswered Prayer. And on the front of it, it had God's hands tied. And the subtitle to the book was Untying the Hands of God. Because unanswered prayer is not God's fault. Unanswered prayer is not a deal that, you know, it's not God's deal. Well, God just chose not to answer your prayer. We often hear that God sometimes says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait a while. Well, I think sometimes you is confused if you think that. Because God always says yes if it's according to his word. He always says yes. Can you imagine telling anybody coming up here to be saved that they might could get saved, they might not get saved, that God may save them, but he may not save them. He may answer their prayer and save them if they call on Jesus, but he may let them go to hell. You never know what the Lord's going to do. Who in a right mind would ever say that? In any church, anywhere. I mean, come on, man. It doesn't matter what church it is. Thank God for church. We're pro-church. I don't care if it's Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Catholic. If we pray with you to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, we are never going to tell you that he may save you and he may not. He may say yes when you call on Jesus, and he might just decide that you're just not worth it. Well, you'd never say that, because you have God's word on that, don't you? You have God specifically says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God specifically says that he so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God specifically says, if any man come unto me, I'll in no wise cast him out. Hallelujah. The Bible is very plain that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. No ifs, ands, buts about it. Amen. We know that because God can't lie. Well, then why didn't everybody say? Well, everybody doesn't do that. Everybody doesn't pray that, see? So although God's able to save all, unlimited in his power, he is limited by us to save us if we don't call on him. So you see, there's a limit there, isn't there? There's a hands tied there. And we need to untie the hands of God with our talk, the things we're saying, the way we're acting, what we're saying about our marriage, what we're saying about our business, what we're saying about our body, what we're saying about our church, what we're saying, we're tying God's hands in our lives. He's still powerful, it just won't come to us. He's still saving, it just won't save us. He's still healing, he's just not going to heal us. We've tied that hand, we've tied it, see? We've heard some testimonies today about you got to believe. You have to believe God. Now, Psalm 78. Turn there, and I'm just going to get started on this. Woo, hallelujah. This year, we are not going to limit. We're going to take the limits off. Amen. Take the stops off. We're going to unhook, praise God. See, we got it. We're hooked. Somehow we got it all. We got too many hooks in there. We got to unhook. Psalm 78, it's awesome. This psalm really, it's kind of negative when you run through it because it's talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness. You remember God brought them out of Egypt. 10 plagues came and just knocked down those gods of Egypt just one by one by one by one and showed that he was God. And, he went through the river and the blood and then the frogs. And that's always a funny story to me when Moses comes into Pharaoh and they're inundated with these frogs. I mean, there's frogs everywhere. There's here frog, there frog, everywhere frog, frog. I mean, old McDonald had a farm and there's nothing but frogs. They came out of the river and there and everybody's houses on the table and everything. And he comes up to Pharaoh and he says, well, he said, at your word, we'll get rid of these frogs. When do you want to get rid of these frogs? And Pharaoh says, in the morning. I'm thinking, right now. What do you mean in the morning? And I heard a guy preach a sermon one time, one more night with the frogs. And that's, we put up with it, don't we? Well, tomorrow I'm going to get healed. Why don't you just get healed right now? Come on. Why do we want to wait till tomorrow? But he told him, he said, at your word. And if he just said, right now, hey, frogs would be gone right then. Because God told him, he said, at your word. And he said, in the morning. It just amazed me. And we do the same thing, don't we? We put up with something. We put up with something. We put up with it. And what you put up with continues. What you tolerate will continue. Until you say, nope, that's it. Done. No, we're going to believe God. I'm done. That's it. No more. Amen? Well, anyway, they got rid of all those frogs eventually and all the plagues that took place. And then they crossed the Red Sea, but dry land, and the Egyptian army, devoured in the Red Sea. They couldn't do what the children of Israel could do. And God wiped out their enemy, and they had a big party in the 15th chapter of Exodus, and Miriam got her tambourine, and they began to dance and sing, that's triumph gloriously, the horse riders thrown into the sea. That's all there. And then they get out in the wilderness, and God says, I want to give you all this land. They send out 12 spies, and they come back. 10 of them have this evil report of unbelief and convince the greater part of the whole nation of Israel that they couldn't go into the land of Canaan. And yet God just delivered them from the greatest world empire known at that time, the Egyptian world empire, wiped out their whole army in front of their eyes, did supernatural things, 10 plagues, supernatural plagues, destroyed each one of their, really, if you look at that, every one of those plagues addressed an Egyptian god that they trusted in. They had a god of frogs, they had a god of the river, they had a god of light, eventually darkness, and they had a god of light. All of those were gods that God just broke down and said, I'm God. You call on all the gods you want to, I'm God. And he destroyed every one of them. And now they get out of here and they decide not to believe God. Really, it's amazing when you look at the story. They decide, we can't do this. These giants are way too big. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. We're like grasshoppers in our own sight. Numbers 13 is where that took place. And God wasn't happy about that. God, I don't know what it is about calling somebody a liar. People don't like to be called a liar. Do they?
No.
They don't like to be insulted. They don't like to be called a liar. And yet, that's what we do. We don't, I know, I understand. It's not malicious. It's not intentional. We've listened to the lies of the devil is what's happened. But when we don't believe God, we're calling God a liar. And I've done it. You've done it. We've all done it. So we got no stones to throw here. So don't look at me so holy. Are you with me?
Yeah.
We just need to repent, and God's a forgiving God. Get back on our feet and start trusting God again. But what happened here, Psalm 78 is an indictment on that time. They didn't get to go in the land of Canaan, not because God wasn't powerful, not because God wasn't big enough, not because God hadn't showed himself mighty over and over and over, but because they wouldn't believe. And they put stops on God. They put limits on God. They tied his hands, and they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness when they didn't have to. That's what's so sad. So, Psalm 78, you found it? Notice what it says here. It says, a contemplation, first verse, of Asaph. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, which have heard, we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. These stories you've heard over and over yourself. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. We need to share these stories. We need to tell these testimonies. Amen. And we need to share why there were those that didn't get it. We need to do that because we want our children to grow. We want them to know that God's a God that loves us and for us. Amen. And that if we trust him, he'll help us. Now, if you say, well, are you getting on my case because I prayed and something didn't happen? No, because I prayed and things didn't happen, and I've had failure in my life, and I've had pain, and I've had crisis, and I've had loss too. Who hadn't? Are you with me? I'm just here telling you it wasn't God's fault. Amen? Amen. And he wasn't behind it. God is good. And the thing is, you can get back on your feet again, and you can start trusting again, you can start believing again, you can turn this thing around. Amen? Amen. We will not hide them, fourth verse, from our children. Tell unto the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he's done. For he established a testimony in Jacob. I love that. All these Bible stories, you know, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the miracles of Jesus, that's for your benefit. These are testimonies. We need to look at these things. We need to see what these people did. We need to mimic what they did when they succeeded, and we need to stop doing what they did wrong when they failed. They're there for our benefit. Hallelujah. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be like those 10 spies and question God. I want to be like Joshua and Caleb who said, let us go up at once. We are well able to overcome. Hallelujah. If God be for us, their bread for us, their defense is departed from them. That's what they said. I don't want to be like David's brothers who talked about how big Goliath was. I want to be like David who said, the God that delivered me from the lion and the bear will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine, seeing he's defied the armies of the living God. I don't want to shake my boots on a mountain. I want to come off that mountain and kill that giant. That's what I want to do. I want to copy David. I want to copy these men and these women through the Bible that believed and trusted and stood in faith. They're there for our admonition, examples for us to follow. I want to cry out like that blind man when anybody tells me to shut up and be quiet and don't be so loud and cry out even louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. I won't tear the roof off if I have to. I don't want to quit. I want to get to Jesus and get my miracle. Hallelujah. I want to press through the crowd like that woman with the issue of blood when she wasn't even supposed to be there, when she had to come up from behind him and overcome him through a crowd and grab a hold of his garment. I want to be like that woman and get a miracle like she did. That's there for your benefit and for my benefit. That's passion. That's determination. That's what God's looking for. Amen. Hallelujah. For he established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. See, I want to live for God, not just for me, but I want to live for God for my children. I want to live for God for my grandchildren. And if Jesus tarries, I want to live for God for those that come after I leave. Hallelujah. I want to be a light. I want to be a witness. I want to be a testament. I need a healing. I need a miracle. I need a financial blessing. I need peace to come on me. I need supernatural manifestations of the Holy Ghost in my life. So the next generation will know that there's a God in Wills Point, Texas. Hallelujah. There's a God that sees us and hears us and loves us and cares for us. Praise God. And that'll move on your behalf if you'll pray. The next generation, wow, I want to make a mark before I go. I got one shot at this deal. It's all I got. It's all you got. We got one shot. We need to give it the best we got, amen? Brother Osteen, you say heaven's high, hell is hot, and life is short. It is. seem like the older I get, the more funerals I do, and the more people I, you know, I look at the old bit from time to time from my hometown in the center. Man, there's a lot of people pass away. A lot of people. All my favorite actors and actresses are dying. Did you know that? The older you get, that seems to happen. Now, that's not negative. I'm just saying I'm getting closer to my home. We're all getting closer to our homes. This is not our home. This is temporary. We're here for a blip on the chart, short time. Make a mark. Make a difference. Live for Jesus. The only thing you do for Christ will last. That's the only thing that will last. The only thing that will make an impact and make a difference. Hallelujah. Mm. And what the legacy we need to leave is a legacy of a God who loves us and for us, who's very much involved in our lives, and a God who is a miracle worker, who is a healer, who is a lover. Hallelujah. We need to leave a legacy of a good God that'll meet your need if you'll call on him, whose ear is open to your prayer. His door is open for you to visit. That the generation to come, 6th verse, might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. 7th verse. He tells us some things not to do. I like that. The Bible's filled with things to do and things not to do. There's a lot of shouts and there's a lot of shout nots. Amen. Now we need to do the shouts and we need to not do the shout nots. That makes sense. That's a double negative. 7th verse says, that they may set their hope in God, these children. Whoa, see, we need to tell, why? Why do we need to tell these stories? Why do we need to have these testimonies? Why do we need to be big on this good God that next generation would set their hope in God? That they would trust God, that they would believe God like we did. That they'd know no matter where they were and whatever happened and whatever the government does, I don't know what the government's going to do. I don't know what the world's going to do. I don't know what the culture is going to be next 10, 15, 20 years, but I know this. I've left a legacy, and Brenda's left a legacy. This church has left a legacy of hope that you can trust God, that God will come through for you. Hallelujah. That he's bigger than whatever culture is out there, whatever government's in power, whatever's going across the news. I tell you what, you can put your hope in God. Hallelujah. You can trust God. Amen. You can trust God. I've trusted him. He's never failed me. Yeah. If something didn't happen, it was my fault. It wasn't his. He's never failed me. Amen. He's never failed to do anything he said he'd do. Never. Never. Always come through. That they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. You know, lots of times we have challenges in the church, just like anything. I mean, come on. You have challenges in marriage. You've got challenges in business. You've got challenges in your body and your finances. It happens all the time. But what you don't want to forget, you don't want to forget God's works. You don't want to forget all the times he helped you and blessed you and healed you and got you through a situation. You know, I remember when we started the church, we didn't have anything. We're supporting any missions. Are you kidding? Well, I mean, we just started. So I remember how God took us from there to a building. We got a building. Hallelujah. Took us from this building to a couple more buildings and a lot more land. I remember when we didn't have any land. Now we got 45 acres out here paid for. 44.3 acres, to be exact. You know? I remember when we were given like, oh, I don't know, $6,000 to $8,000 a year to missions. Yeah. And I remember we got aggressive about that. Bo, Ron, you remember we had a meeting. We talked about that. We said, we're gonna get crazy with missions. Didn't use that term, but we just said, we're gonna up the ante. We're gonna prove God here. And we did. We gave like $20,000 the next year. Woo, man, $20,000. And the year after that, we gave $32,000. Oh, and it was, you know, it just went crazy from there. We started giving over $100,000 a year. We got out of debt in 1997. From 1998 till now, we've given way over $2 million to missions. Wow. Isn't that wild? Now, have we hit some bumps? Well, sure, but you know what? That's what we look at. That's what's always got us through. But we're doing great. We're just doing wonderful. In fact, just this week, I got a phone call from somebody, and we're building another church in Thailand. Already contacted Charlie Milbrock, build another church in Thailand. My Lord, how many churches are we going to build over there? We're paying for it. Amen. Already paid for the well that Brenda talked about. And got a well going in Madagascar. That's above our regular giving, our regular outreaches that we do, foreign and domestic, you know. And that's just the start. Hallelujah. Those are the things we ought to tell. Those things we ought to talk about. How many lives have got back together? How many people got healed? How many people got saved? How many people got fed? Over 5,000 plus families. Some of those, of course, are repeats. I understand that. That have come through there. That we've ministered to. Over 100 tons of food that we've given away. Yeah, God's good. He is good. Amen. He is so good. And he says that they may set their hope in God, that 7th verse, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Amen. Keep doing it. Keep doing what you're doing. It works. It pays off. Be not weary in well doing, for you will reap in due season. If you faint not, then we're not of those that faint and draw back. And he says in a negative sense here, he says, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn, a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Don't be that way. There's nothing I could tell you, my children, my grandchildren, or tell you as people here in the church, that you must have God first in your life. You must have Jesus Christ first in your life. Heart steadfast, faithful, serving God. There's nothing more important. There is nothing that would take the place of that. There is nothing more important than that. You can't have your wife first. You can't have your husband first. You can't have your kids first. You can't have your church first. You can't have your job first. You must have Jesus Christ first in your life. He has to be first in your life. And if he is first, then everything else will flourish. Your love for your wife, your love for your husband, your love for your church, it will explode if you love Jesus with all your heart. See, there's only one king love, and that king is Jesus. He's king. He's king. Everything else is subservient to him. King love can't be kids. It can't be wife. It can't be husband. King love's got to be Jesus. But king love will cause all your other loves to flourish and explode. Yeah. It will. You don't want to worship anything but him, because without him, you wouldn't have your wife. Without him, you wouldn't have your husband. So it will help you love your wife better and love your husband better and kids and so on and so forth. So keep your heart right with God. That's what he's saying. And he's telling them he wants to leave this with them, this generation. He's talking about leaving this with them. I'm talking about looking forward to the future, looking forward to this year. Wow, come on. This would be a way to get right, to start this year out right. Praise God. Let's keep our hope in God this year. Amen? Let's keep trusting God. Let's keep telling those tales. Let's tell those testimonies. Hallelujah. Let's go over and over the miracles that he's done, how he's always got us through. I've laid awake many a night over something that never happened. I've laid awake many a night and got up the next morning and God came through. And then spent the rest of the day rejoicing, but I didn't sleep at all the night before because of my unbelief. I was miserable because I didn't trust God. Because I wasn't thinking, I wasn't believing, I wasn't trusting. But God, in his mercy, in many of those cases, was just his mercy. It wasn't my faith. In his mercy, he came through. Not because of me, because many times because of you. I got to get that pastor in faith. These people need him. My goodness gracious, I'm going to have to help him. Because it's not always about me. It could be my kids. Could be my family. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Boy, this is good stuff. And there's no stopping it. But I will. 8th verse. Says, it might not be as their fathers, a stubborn, rebellious generation that has set not their heart right and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. They kept not the covenant with God. Boy, of all times, listen, this is not time to back off. This is time to go forward. This is the time to stay true, stay faithful, get our heart fixed, steadfast, focused, trusting God like never before. We're going into a new year. We're going into a new arena, a new dimension. Hallelujah, a new level. Praise God, new levels, new devils. That's all right. We got more power. We got more promises. You know, let the devil throw his best shot. We'll still be standing when it's all over. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. And we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Hallelujah. You can't lose with the stuff we use. Well, they kept not the covenant, but we do. Amen. They refused to walk in his law, but we walk in his word. Hallelujah. They forgot his works, but I'm going to remind myself, hallelujah, I'm not going to forget. And his wonders that he had showed them. Don't ever forget what God has done for you. And whatever he has done, he will do again. Because he is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Lord God. He changes not. You don't get any better than God, so God can't change. For God to change at all, it had to get worse. He can't get better. He's as good as it gets. And for him to change his love at all, he had to love you less, because he can't love you more. He loves you more than anybody could ever love you. Amen? Amen. So he changes not, because he's perfect. He's the Lord God. He changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hey, we got a lot to be thankful for last year. We got a whole lot more to thank for this coming year, praise God. We've got a lot to meditate on, all the things that he's done in our lives, and we don't need to forget those. Hallelujah. We don't need to be rebellious and stubborn here. We don't need to back off here. We don't need to give up or give in. Amen? If we'll do this, God will show up and show out, because he always does. Amen? Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you this year. This is a great year. Man, I don't know about you, but I'm going to this year with Jesus, God, and the Holy Ghost. I am. I plan on going a whole year with Jesus, God, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And his word. Wow. I've got the promises of God coming along with me as I'm going in 2017. I got all the blessing of heaven on me. I got the favor of God on me. I got the name of Jesus. I got the Holy Ghost. I got the armor of God. Woo, hallelujah. Man, look at 2007. Here I come. 2017, yeah, excuse me. 2007, yeah, back to the future. Now we're going backwards. Look out, 2017. You don't have to add to be blessed. That's all I know. 2017, because here I come. Hallelujah. We're coming, okay? And nothing's going to stop us. We're coming. Hallelujah. We're the people of God. We're the army of God. Praise God. We're blessed. We're favored highly from God. We're washed in the blood, full of the Holy Ghost. God is word. Look out, devil. I'm not afraid of the devil. He better be afraid of us. He better be on the run, because we're coming. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm excited. How about you? Amen. Well, stand up, give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Praise the Lord.